I'm with Mark Gundy, and you're on the IE7 team.
Yep, and I work on the RSS platform, and I also specify a lot of the features in IE7 UX.
Okay. So let's go through what we mean by an RSS platform. You said there's a sync engine, there's a data store, there's a...
And there's an object model on top of it.
Okay.
Right. So so the first part, the download engine, what it does is it basically looks at all the feeds that a user subscribed to and goes in, you know, on a periodic basis, you know, downloads all of them to your machine. Then the second thing it does is it normalizes all the formats. So the idea is that, you know, in the store, we actually store the canonical format. So the format we've chosen is, you know, essentially RSS 2.0. So what we do is we basically map all the different formats back to RSS 2.0.
Mm-hmm. And this would be a system-wide...
That's right.
Store, which is essentially in the file system at this point.
It's actually stored using structured storage. That's the format that, you know, we stored it right now.
Okay.
And then on top of that, we provide an object model. So, you know, if you just wanted to, you know, enumerate all the feeds the users are subscribed to, it's like, you know, three lines of code. You just basically go for each over an enumerator, and you get all the feeds.
Okay. System-wide, this is.
System-wide. Right.
Yeah.
So this is just basically all the users' data is stored in the RSS store.
Okay.
And you know, any application can query it. So you know, if you have a browser, if you have a media player, if you have a photo application, a calendar application, any application really, the sidebar part that we saw this morning, you know, all of that is actually just accessing the RSS platform.
Okay.
And none of those applications.
Ideally, this would live in WinFS and be subject to more system-wide management capabilities in some future incarnation. But
yeah.
For now, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So the other thing the platform does actually is it actually monitors how the user's network is being used. So there's a system component in Windows that's actually shipped for a few releases called Bits. And what it this is the same system that's used by Windows Update. And so what it does is, you know, waits for the user's network to be free, and then only it schedules the heavy enclosures to be downloaded. Because a lot of the issues we see with a lot of the aggregators today is, you know, you go subscribe to Channel 9 videos, and, you know, now you have, like, you know, your network being hogged essentially by the application, and, you know, you're downloading all these, you know, movies down to your machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're actually trying to, you know, get any real work done, like, you know, you're trying to use your, you know, email program or your browser or something like that, right? Now it's actually, you know, conflicting with, because, you know, your network pipe is actually being used to do this other thing, right? So there's actually a fair amount of smarts that the platform has around how it actually does the downloads. And this is also where we do a lot of the interesting, you know, networking tricks around, you know, conditional gets, all that kind of stuff. So the application layer basically just needs to say, hey, I'm interested in this feed. And then, you know, it gets a very nice object model around it. And if it wants to get to the XML that we have, you know, it can get to that as well. We have a bunch of methods that, you know, return the XML as well. But all the downloading, all the format stuff, all that kind of stuff is just basically handled by the platform.
And then on Vista, the indexing and search of this is also part of the system-wide indexing and search?
Exactly. So you have the RSS items, and they get essentially, we write a protocol handler that is the glue between the RSS store and the MS search system, right? So just like, you know, the Outlook store is being exposed into the MS search, same way, like, you know, the RSS store is being exposed in very much the same way. So if a user just basically, you know, searches for, you know, a keyword or a word they're just interested in, the RSS data is just, you know, indexed exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm. So results come back as mixtures of types from the different stores.
Yeah, basically the independent individual items end up showing up in the search results.
Mixing with other
like documents and messages and, you know, all the other types that you have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
I like that.
And, you know, the whole promise of this was, you know, we just saw that, you know, over time, RSS actually makes its way into, you know, a lot of different applications, right? Like, you know, today, it's hard to find a sophisticated browser that doesn't have RSS support, right? Now, you know, it'll also be hard to find a media player that doesn't have some sort of podcasting support in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months. But we think that, like, you know, browsers and aggregators and media players aren't the only places that we see, you know, RSS popping up. Like, you know, I would imagine that, you know, if I have a photo application, I want to actually use that as the way to, you know, experience my photo blogs. And, you know, there's this really strong, you know, compelling idea around, you know, I want to subscribe to calendars. So, for instance, the RSS, the PDC calendar is actually available via RSS. and I should be able to subscribe to it and do some interesting things with it, right? You know, subscribing to lists of people, right? So contacts and stuff. So these are just some of the common data types that we imagine sort of, you know, just coming via RSS. And then there are these specialized applications that actually want to be able to, you know, consume these different data types. And so what the platform really does is basically says, look, there's this very simple thing. You know, all the common functionality is kind of abstracted out. And all the application needs to do is essentially write the glue between the data structures that the RSS platform has and the internal data format that the application has. And once you kind of write that little bit of glue code, so for example, in my talk on Thursday, I'll actually be showing a couple examples where, you know, a media player, its internal data structure is playlists and songs, right? So, you know, in about 20 lines of code, you can actually write that, you know, the little bit of glue code that takes the RSS data structure, which is feeds and items and enclosures, and maps it to, you know, playlists with a bunch of, you know, media files.
Yeah.
And that piece of glue code, I mean, you can pretty visualize it. It's pretty straightforward, right?
So the only issue here for me would be that this ends up being another PC-centric data store, which is a mode that I'm getting away from. So, I mean, that's why I use blog lines right now is because... You know, yeah, I can't read the stuff conveniently offline, or maybe not at all offline, but I'm hardly ever not online not online, you know, for long periods of time. Yeah. And, you know, the whole issue of synchronizing my read items and my subscriptions, you know, across multiple machines just got burdensome at some point. So, you know, I guess that becomes a next set of issues to tackle, right? But I'm assuming that's not really sort of part of it right now.
It's not. So there are two or three big requests we get all the time, right? So one request is, hey, can I synchronize the feed list and the read and write state with, you know, some cloud-based service? So BlogLines is an example. You know, NewsGator Online is another example. Like when I'm talking to Nick Bradbury from FeedDemon, right? Like he's actually investing a fair amount of time in the next release of FeedDemon on exactly this kind of feature. So we imagine that this is a rich area of innovation. And the second request we get is, hey, this is still one way. Like I'm still consuming information. You know, shouldn't the platform also support publishing to information as well? Right. Like so, can I, you know, should we build in, you know, some of the publishing APIs and provide support for those in the platform as well?
Some of the many.
Some of the many. So and you know that's exactly, you know, some of the questions we have to figure out is, you know, as you said, like there's Metaweb blog APIs and there's all sorts of different variants of the Blogger API and you know XML RPC APIs. So those are the
Atom publishing protocol.
And the Atom publishing protocol, right? Exactly. So those are the two big buckets of questions we get, like, you know, requests we get for features in, like, you know, hey, wouldn't it be great if the platform also supported publishing? So that, you know, again, for all of the examples I mentioned, like, you know, media applications, photo applications, calendar applications, any application, you know, they actually have a lot of interesting data and you want to be able to publish that stuff right from within the application. You know, the shell is another fantastic example, like, you know, wouldn't it be great if you know, I can just look at a document and, you know, right-click or, you know, have some task that allows me to just essentially, you know, post it to my blog and just add a couple of comments and, you know, now it's uploaded. So the whole making the whole...
Or publish a query.
Or publish a query, exactly.
Yeah. So you get this, what you're calling a platform, with IE7 and therefore it works on any Windows system pretty much. That will run IE7.
It doesn't
require this to, and it doesn't really require anything other than whatever components you provide.
Actually, I want to be clear there. Right now, the platform is part of Windows Vista.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. And
not necessarily, it just is packaged that way.
There is actually a fair amount of, like, you know, a lot of the work we're doing around, you know, securing these attachments that are coming down. Because, you know, from a security perspective also, you can imagine there's actually like, this is an internet-facing channel.
With enclosures.
And you're downloading, you know, binary data.
Okay.
Right? So we're actually integrating with a fair number of other security services. So
can you go through a little bit of what that's like?
Sure, absolutely. So security is actually an area where we've actually paid a tremendous amount of attention. And, you know, there's obviously, you know, this tension between what the user wants, what the developer wants, and what's the right thing to do from the security perspective, right? And... You know, so let me give you a couple of examples. By the way, I worked previously on you know, Windows Messenger and Outlook Express as well. So I actually see a fair number of parallels between some of the attacks that we kind of saw in the email world, and you know, sort of some of the stuff we were doing in RSS. So actually, the first assumption we made from a security perspective is, even though the user is explicitly subscribing to a site, we don't really take that as any indication that we should actually trust the content that's coming from that site. There's a number of attacks, like, you know, all the way from, like, you know, DNS spoofing to hijacking a site and all that kind of stuff, right? So our fundamental premise is we don't trust the data that's actually coming.
Yeah.
So just because I subscribe to your website, you know, like, fundamentally the platform won't trust anything, right, even though the user subscribed to it, right? So that's rule number one. We apply it across the board. Okay. So then the question is, okay, then now that the platform has taken sort of this stance that, you know, doesn't trust the content, you know, what are some of the other things we should do? The first thing we should do is, you know, just take a few lessons from the email world, right? So the first one is, you know, just have a block list of types of files that you just don't download, period.
Of extensions,
yeah. So exes, and then there's a bunch of things that actually embed executable content, like, you know, screensavers, batch files, you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that, right? So, you know, like, things that are just pure data kind of things, like, will actually be, you know, a lot... Those are the kinds of things that we actually want to, you know, distribute via RSS. So, and actually, you know, from a scenario perspective, this actually limits, you know, how far RSS can go. Because, again, this is a trade-off between what developers want and what users want. So an example is, a lot of people are saying, you know, oh, you know, can I use this system to download, you know, Windows Update patches, right? Mm. And you could, but, you know, as a very direct consequence of the decision we made to actually not download executable content, right? It means that, you know, you can't actually use this RSS system to do that, because, you know, we'll actually not do that. So
these are essentially filters that you've specified. That doesn't sound like it gets into the guts of Vista. What does is it stuff about least user access and things like that that are where Vista
So there's another aspect which is the protected mode that we talk about in Internet Explorer 7. This is the low rights mode. That's kind of the internal name for this feature. And Jim showed that this morning.
Yes.
So the idea is actually, we think that Internet Explorer, like, you know, we've done our level best to, you know, go through and find all the buffer overruns and all that kind of stuff, right? But what if, you know, we missed something and, you know, Internet Explorer actually got compromised in some way? Now, can that process... you know, affect other things on your system,
mm-hmm.
right? So what we've now done is essentially put Internet Explorer 7 in a sandbox. So Internet Explorer 7, like, you know, that process, like, even if it gets hijacked, it can't actually touch the rest of your user data.
And that sandboxing capability is a Vista-only
feature.
It can be used by any process or set of processes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it called?
We call it protected mode.
Protected mode.
Right.
Okay.
So Internet Explorer 7, this is one of the features that's actually only on Vista, is this protected mode feature. Right?
Okay.
And because it actually requires a fair amount of, you know, re-architecture and the guts of the system.
Okay.
About how, you know, privileges are given to applications and stuff. And
but it's obviously not specific to .NET code.
It applies to unmanaged code as well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So one of the things, so that's actually another security issue as far as RSS is concerned. Like, you know, what if something like Internet Explorer gets compromised? Can that process now go and write a bunch of stuff into the RSS store, right? And hence, all these other applications that are building on the RSS platform are now, you know, affected by that. So what we've actually done is actually built a broker process that Internet Explorer 7 has to go through. So Internet Explorer can actually read data from the RSS store. It cannot actually, it can affect some other state, like it can affect the red and red state and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But any other operation, like, you know, deleting a feed, adding a feed, all of that kind of stuff, always requires a user prompt.
Okay.
Right? So and, you know, there's a balance between, you know, user experience and security. So
can I write this item, but can this feed write items?
Right. Yeah,
you're not gonna,
exactly.
You're not gonna prompt me per item. You're gonna prompt me per feed.
Yes, you're gonna say, "Hey, you know, Internet Explorer 7 is asking me to subscribe to this feed." So okay. The user has to say yes, right? Or it says, you know, Internet Explorer 7 is, you know, asking to, you know, delete this feed, and you have to say yes, right?
Okay.
And by building this sort of, you know, essentially this broker that essentially bridges between the sandbox that's Internet Explorer 7 and the rest of the RSS platform, we actually make sure that, you know, even if Internet Explorer 7 is compromised, the store itself is protected.
Cool. That's good. That's excellent, actually. We should stop here.
Yeah. Okay.
But thank you, Omar. That was excellent.
Yeah, thank you.